Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Crude oil is the main thing. What's going on in the Middle East is obviously affecting that and the overall polar of what's going on in the grain markets right now.
Zach Tindall with Producers Livestock. And it's true, based on headlines, most markets moving, whether or not things are positive, negative, out of the Middle East. Well, we go to South America. Brazil's fast-growing corn ethanol industry creating new risk and opportunities for U.S. corn producers. Now, analysis from Grant Gardner, assistant extension professor at the University of Kentucky at Martin, shows Brazil's expanding domestic corn use could reshape global trade flows and add volatility to corn prices. Brazil has long been a major ethanol producer, traditionally relying on sugarcane, but by 2024, about 20% of the country's ethanol output came from corn, driven largely by safrinha production in the center-west region. Corn ethanol capacity in Brazil, projected to start near 23 million metric tons this year, could grow to between 33 and 55 million metric tons by 2035. Brazil's corn crop this year, totaling 5.56 billion bushels, means projected ethanol capacity would consume a meaningful share of production. So as more corn moves into ethanol and feed use, export availability may fluctuate. Could reduce competition with U.S. corn in some years, but increase volatility in global markets and futures prices. Speaking of ethanol, U.S. ethanol production moved lower for the week ending April 17th, even as inventories kept building. According to the latest from the U.S. Energy Information Administration, output fell 7% to just over 1 million barrels per day. It equals 43.68 million gallons per day, marked an 11-week low. But even so, production still running above the same week last year and over 5% above the three-year average. Weekly drop in output matters because ethanol margins can tighten when stocks rise faster than demand. Ethanol stocks increasing to 26.9 million barrels, up nearly 6% from a year ago. Refiner and blender net ethanol imports also improving, the strongest weekly pace we've seen since mid-September. And rural population trends shifting, more people moving into rural areas supporting modest growth across the countryside. USDA data shows U.S. rural population 46.2 million in 2024, accounting for 13.6% of the total population. And that does tie in with this story. Former House Ag Committee Chairman David Scott of Georgia has died at the age of 80, leaves behind more than two decades of leadership in farm policy, rural advocacy, and ag education. And we spoke with him 5 years ago.
One of my number one major challenges for all of us, but we have got to bring rural broadband. Look, Tony, our whole agriculture industry is at stake. Our position and standing in the world is at stake. It is that plain and simple.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
It seems to me obvious that more effort would produce more resources.
I think that may be the one school of thought, but we haven't seen that in educational outcomes. We haven't seen that in healthcare outcomes, that more money equals better outcomes. And at the IRS thus far, we believe in outcomes.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent answering questions from Rhode Island Senator Jack Reed during an appropriations hearing.
The gas prices are up more than 30%, and they're above $4 a gallon. And the Nonpartisan Tax Foundation estimates that President Trump's tariffs were essentially a $1,000 tax on American households, and that's a nonpartisan organization. So you have a situation in which also health care is hugely expensive for people. About 17 million Americans are seeing increases because of the big, beautiful bill. Consumer sentiment is at a record low. You recently claimed that in their heart of hearts, consumers feel good. But that's not supported by polling. That is constant and accurate. And the idea that consumer spending is up doesn't recognize, I think, that the top 10% of the richest families account for 50% of consumer spending. So how does all this help families solve the key price of affordability in the United States today?
Senator, I agree. After the Biden years and the 21.5% CPI level increase, Americans were reeling. I can tell you that it is my belief that when we talk about gasoline, that the crude market is currently in what is known in the energy business, a very steep backwardation, which means that the future prices are much lower than we are at present. I think the conflict will end. I think gasoline prices will come back to where they were or perhaps lower. As they did, President Trump has shown that he is good at getting energy prices down and that our energy dominance agenda has the lowered prices.
How fast will the prices of gasoline come down?
Again, that is path dependent on when the war and the conflict end.
Well, from a perspective of the Armed Services Committee, it's not likely to end soon.
And on tax filing and returns?
The average refund, as we collate the final numbers, is up between 11 and 13%. We do not have the numbers now, but my inclination is going to be that those filers who use Schedule A, that their refunds would be up more than the average. And just to give you some numbers, Senator, this year we received over 155 million returns. Over 60 million filers use Schedule A for one of the president's four signature policies. You also have the deductibility of interest on auto loans for American-made cars. The average tax cut for filers benefiting from the signature tax cut was $800. Over 7 million filers, no tax and tips, received an average deduction of over $7,000. No tax and overtime, over $3,100. Car interest loan deduction, $1,800. And the seniors deduction, $7,500. And importantly, we are now up to 98% of taxpayers who file electronically. And those who filed electronically, 90% of them received these refunds within 21 days.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
As far as my background, I have been in the apparel and textile industry for the bulk of my career.
Bev Sylvester is the new Chief Marketing Officer with Cotton Incorporated.
I started my career at VF Corporation in strategy, which really exposed me to all facets of the industry. Subsequently, I worked at a lot of larger retail brand corporations, including but not limited to Delta Glil, Maidenform, and Renfro. In those capacities, I ran marketing both on the B2B side and the B2C side and worked with a lot of different brands and retailers. Whether on the licensing side, I've held licenses for Ralph Lauren, Tommy Hilfiger, Lucky Brand, and several others. And then also on the retailer side. So that is both domestically and internationally. So I've worked with all the big guys, Walmart, Target, JCPenney, Kohl's, Macy's, as well as a lot of the smaller retailers, and then a lot of the international retailers as well. So I have a very good understanding of the landscape. I also have had the opportunity to work on several smaller brands. Examples include Happy Socks and Hanky Panky. What is great about that is it really exposed me to more than just marketing. So I have had a lot of experience across business development, product development, and other facets of the different organizations. Prior to this role, I actually was in the textile space. I was at Unify, which I know is polyester, but I have seen the light. I am now on the cotton side of the business. In that capacity, I held a very similar role in that I was running marketing communications for Unify, really with a focus on Reprieve, which is their brand of recycled polyester. All of these experiences have definitely shaped me in different ways. From the obvious in that, you know, you learn new things in new roles. But also, I think the thing that comes across is really the importance of people, working with great people that are passionate about what they do, that are motivated, that are smart. And then the importance of having a great product. I think without a great product, you can have all the marketing in the world, but it won't move the needle. And we obviously have an incredible product here with cotton.
She talks about what drew her to Cotton Incorporated.
I'm a really big believer in working across supply chains and really building partnerships. And that really starts from everything from the consumer all the way through. So it's how do you take all those different experiences and make 1 + 1 = 10? And I really saw that opportunity with this role at Cotton.
She says, really, when you look at cotton, it already has a compelling story.
I think another big piece of what drew me to cotton is the incredible authentic sustainability story. I think, you know, you can do a lot of things with synthetics. You can say a lot of things, but at the end of the day, no other fiber has the natural authenticity that cotton does. And, you know, again, that's a really compelling story. The other thing is also the incredible depth of resources that Cotton Incorporated does have, you know, from the research to the trends, trend forecasting, our fabric cost, all of those different pieces. As far as, you know, what my prior experience with synthetics brings to the table, you know, I've sat in the seats, whether that's on the brand side, the retailer side, or the competitive side. I know how cotton, you know, how they combat cotton, how they pitch their products. And really, I think having that knowledge really helps me shape the narrative for cotton. Everything is always part of a bigger collective. I am very fortunate here in that I have an incredible team. But I think at the end of the day, what is super, super compelling to me is the fact that cotton is natural and also that it's evolved. You know, when I think of cotton from, and again, dating myself in the 90s, you know, it didn't have wickability. It didn't have some of the great properties that you now have with all of our tremendous technology. So, you know, I think a lot of my experience launching technologies on the synthetic side translates also to the cotton side of the world.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Just last week, I was in Michigan and Ohio, and I went to a variety of factories from very small businesses to large multinationals. One of these is Stellantis, which is the company that owns Jeep and Dodge. And due to the president's tariffs on autos that he imposed last year, they announced a $13 billion investment in the United States across the upper Midwest. And some of that included bringing back product lines from both Canada and Mexico to the United States. So that's one example.
U.S. Trade Representative Ambassador Jamison Greer.
We also announced there was an announcement of a $60 million investment in the Whirlpool factory in Clyde, Ohio, which is the world's largest and oldest washing machine factory. And that has another 150 jobs. So these are just examples. The pharmaceutical companies, they're pouring foundations and building superstructures in North Carolina and Indiana and Southern California across the country. So And when we ask them why they say tariff, they don't always love to put it in their, you know, filings with the SEC, but that's why.
On China.
We are right now preparing text, which we'll share with Congress before we circulate it to partners, for a plurilateral agreement on trade in critical minerals. We want to create a situation because China has broken the market for critical minerals, and this is not the first time they've tried to use rare earths to control other countries' behavior.
Leverage.
Exactly right. And so what we are doing with trading partners who have critical minerals or who have manufacturing is we want to create an agreement where among the parties to the agreement, we have a market in critical minerals among us, and we try to trade at a market-based prices. But if you're not in the agreement and you want to trade with one of these parties, you have to do it at a certain level. You have to have a price floor, because in the past, the Chinese have just dumped into our market, and then we have a mine that can't operate anymore because it makes economic sense. And so we're trying to do an agreement with a select group to protect and create a market because it's been broken in the past.
He talks about the turnaround in trade.
Starting really in earnest at the end of the Cold War, there was a view in Washington and Wall Street, I would say, that we should open our markets. We should lower our barriers to foreign goods, services, capital, and labor. And that in doing that, you know, we would grow and it would all be shared and that kind of thing. We now have, you know, 35, 40 years of data, and we know that was wrong. We lost 5 million factory jobs. We lost 70,000 factories because people wanted to, you know, lower all of our protections. They wanted to be dependent on countries like China. You know, they wanted us to just, you know, go backwards in the face of unfair trade practice. They didn't want us to do anything. You know, if we wanted to put tariffs on China, you know, President Bush, you know, for a hot minute, he had tariffs on steel from China, and then everyone said, no, we can't. You know, we can't close out markets to China. We can't deal with Chinese retaliation, right? So we're not going to give up on this, right? We are committed to this. So it sometimes can be challenging. The Chinese will retaliate, but we're going to deal with this. We're not just going to lay down and let the Chinese have their way with the American economy. So we have to be able to reverse the script, and that's what we've been doing. We've been putting up tariffs to protect our manufacturing. And by the way, our ag producers, because our ag producers have had a trade deficit for the past few years under Biden, that's finally being cut down. And at the same time, we're opening foreign markets. That's why we are exporting more than America has ever exported in its entire history of 250 years, $300 billion, over $300 billion in each of January and February. So we flipped the script. Instead of having our market just wildly open and facing closed markets overseas, we've done a moderate control of our own imports to protect domestic manufacturing and agriculture, you know, not having tariffs on everything. We have a lot of things that aren't covered by tariffs, but things importantly are covered by tariffs, and we've opened markets overseas, and that's what's creating the turnaround for us.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
As the U.S. spring planting season begins, the USDA March 31st Prospective Planting Report indicated farmers intend to plant 84.7 million acres of soybeans, up nearly 3.2 million acres or 4% from 2025.
Bree Botts is a grain and oilseed analyst with Terrain.
The biggest regional change is for the Western Corn Belt, with Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, and North and South Dakota all increasing planted area in 2026 versus 2025. The Southeast also indicates a significant increase in soybean planted area for 2026, led by Arkansas and Mississippi planting less corn, rice, and cotton than in 2025. The March survey response rate was the lowest ever at 37%, down 7% from last year. Over 80% of the survey responses were received after the Middle East conflict began. Although no one knows how long the conflict will last, Terrain doesn't expect a significant shift to soybeans, as many U.S. farmers had previously secured fertilizer needs. The conflict in the Middle East pushed up grain and oilseed prices, with the May soybean contract surpassing $12 a bushel briefly in March. Soy product prices have also rallied, with May soy oil futures reaching highs not seen in over 3 years. As of February, cash Illinois prices are up more than 10% from a year earlier. For the first half of old crop year, crush margins have averaged nearly $2.60 per bushel, up 33 cents or nearly 15% from last crop year's average of $2.27 per bushel. The federal biofuel clarity will help keep this momentum going into the back half of the crop year and support stronger local basis to farmers near soybean crush plants. Combined with the potential for increased domestic demand and biofuel production, we might finally start to see the soy oil bring most of the margin value to the crusher. The soy oil share of the crush margin has hit or exceeded the 50% threshold only two other times, in 2021 after the renewable diesel boom and in July 2025. However, the majority of the soybean crush byproduct volume is soy meal, so paying attention to soy meal demand will remain critical to support the future U.S. crush pace. As soy meal production outside the U.S. continues to rise and domestic consumption outpaces production, stocks to use is tightening over time. According to the USDA, several major global producers of soy meal, including Argentina, the world's largest exporter, the EU, and 25 other countries, are forecast to have tighter stocks to use in 2025-26 versus 2024-25. This puts the U.S. in an excellent position to supply the globe, increase global market share against Argentina, and further support higher domestic crush rates in the back half of the crop year. As domestic crush continues to set records, farmers located near crush plants should see basis strengthen accordingly. Rhetoric might drive prices in the short term, but fundamentals remain unchanged. The likelihood of both domestic and global acres rising leans bearish, with supply outpacing demand. But uncertainty and volatility will persist. Mother Nature will have the ultimate say in final new crop yields and supply, so carefully weighing any weather-related price rallies against fundamentals will be important for marketing decisions. On the demand side, closely watch actual old and new crop export sales activity from China, especially following the mid-May meeting between the U.S. and China. Unless China's purchases of U.S. soybeans exceeds the 25 million metric tons for new crop, prices will lean neutral. Domestic biofuel policy can stabilize prices, but it alone will not be supportive of prices sustaining beans in the teens levels for the long term. The good news is demand for processed soybeans, soy oil, and soy meal will accelerate in the latter half of the crop year, leading to favorable basis for farmers near crush plants.
And this is Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
Today I'd like to visit with our dairy farmers concerning some wonderful progress that you've made in your dairy herds over the last 10 years.
It's one thing to increase quantity, but to improve quality? Dr. Mike Brook, Kansas State Dairy Specialist.
As we continue to analyze the data from 2025, the Milk Marketing Administrator in Kansas City has released some information concerning milk component values over the last 10 years, as well as how we did in 2025. In 2025, we saw an all-time high for butterfat test in our milk of 4.25% here in the Central Order. Over the past 10 years, the 10-year average is 3.97%, and it has been steadily rising each year, and particularly in the last 8 years, we've seen some tremendous increases in the butterfat content of the milk that we're shipping out of our herds. So, as you think about your dairy herd, where do you rank? If the average is 3.97, how does your herd look? Or, for 2025, the average was 4.25. Are you at the top of that range, or are you somewhere below that average? Somewhere below that average, there might be opportunities for you to increase your paycheck through increasing the values that you see in your milk components. Now, some of the things that might be involved there would be things like your genetics program, but also your feeding program. And as we approach summertime, what are you doing for heat abatement? If there's some improvements that can be made, you might want to be making those improvements soon because the heat is coming. As we look at the amount of protein that's in the milk that we're shipping, again, that has been on the increase as well, although at a much slower rate than what we've seen with butterfat. 10-year average for protein percent was 3.23%. And as we look at what the average was for 2025, we were just a little over 3.33%. So how does your herd stack up? Are you ahead of the game? Are you average? Or are you below the average? If you're below the average, I suggest that you need to have a conversation with your nutritionist to see what you could maybe do from the standpoint of nutrition to see an increase in the protein percent in your herd. Much harder to increase protein percent in our shipped milk than what it is butterfat, but there are still some things that we might be able to tweak that would help us with that. Genetics also plays an important part of this, so depending on how you're using protein production in your genetics program may have an impact on this as well. In addition to looking at butterfat and protein, we always look at somatic cell. And somatic cell has showed a nice decreasing trend over the last 10 years. If we look back at 2015 compared to where we're at today, we see about a 14.6% reduction in the somatic cell count of our shipped milk. In fact, for 2025, we averaged under 200,000 average somatic cell in our shipped milk. Again, for your individual farm, take a look at where you stand compared to the average. If we look at the 10-year average, we're at 202,000 cells per mil for somatic cell count. Again, if you're below this line, great. If you're above the line, well, maybe there's room for improvement. You might have a conversation with your veterinarian as to things that you might be able to look at to decrease the somatic cell count in your herd.
And this is Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.